get right to the message. Father, I come this morning, and Lord, I understand I'm no good. I understand that in my own merits, in my own works, anything in my flesh is no good. But yet, you never throwed me away. You changed me. And I no longer have to identify as a sinner. I can identify as your child, as a saint. And I come to you, Father, as a needy child that can't do what is expected of me this morning unless you help me, unless you do it. Lord, I can't. And Lord, I trust you completely. My weaknesses get more and more every day, but your strength is always more abundant than anything I need, and I praise you for that. But Lord, if you'd help me, if you'd cleanse me, if you would, and use me as you see fit, preach me as you want me to preach, touch me fresh of the Holy Spirit. I do not want to even attempt this on my own, Father. Please touch me fresh. Help the computer. Help our minds. Help our hearts. May we be able to be heard and seen on the live stream. May they see the Scripture, hear the Scripture. Encourage those who can't be here this morning. Those that's hurting, Lord, your grace is sufficient. But right now, oh God, I pray that we might turn our attention to you. Show me even more how I can love you. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. Let's look this morning and we'll see. I'm not going, guys. Here we go. You serve what you love. Now, these are the first two or three slides are going to be on every message. Remember this. You serve what you love. You love what you serve. And there is no love without service. All right? Remember that. Now, that's just common sense, okay? You serve what you love. You love what you serve. There is no love without service. All right? Here's what love is. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. Think about that. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. Now, me loving you is not about me. Me loving God is not about me. It's about Him. And me loving you is not about me, it's about you. If I love you, it ain't about me, it's about you. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. Love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. Love is an action. It's something that we do. And when we truly love someone, we'll seek the highest good for that person. If I love you, then I ought to be seeking. If I tell you I love you, then and I'm doing something against you, then I just lied to you. Now let me say that again. If I tell you that I love you, and I'm doing something against you, then I just lied to you. Because love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. Now think about that. So when we say we love everybody, but yet we ain't treating everybody right, then we be a liar. Yeah. Yeah. Okay? Probably ought to think about that, all right? Everybody all right with that? Just think about that. And we can just think about that and quit, but let's go on, all right? We looked at God's love for a sinner last Sunday morning. Then we looked at God's love for His children last Sunday night. And I could probably preach for a year just on God's love for us. There's no way you can. We just got to stop somewhere. So we hit the highlights. But now let's look at something else, all right? Because we got to get on with the month, all right? We got to get off this love thing. All right? Right? We got to get off this love thing because it's getting in our conversation. There's people now think they're going to have to love somebody. Now, I'm saying that jokingly, but it's done on our mind. That we're going to have to love somebody. It's been told me. You mean that you're going to get on this love? You mean I'm going to have to? Yeah, probably. You're going to have to love somebody, but we got to start somewhere this morning. And this is not a joke. Loving one another, loving God, God, none of this is a joke. But boy, we handle things sometimes so carelessly. Our love for God. That's what we want to look at this morning and tonight. All right? It'll be this morning and tonight both. Our love for God. All right? Psalms 116, verses 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. But what if He didn't? What if He didn't hear you when you called? What if He didn't hear you? What if He didn't incline His ear? What if He saved you and then just let you sit there? Does He have to do something for us to love Him? Has saving us not been enough? And as I want us to think about our love for God. A lot of times I don't know how to say this. Our possessions or our wealth or our health is God is good to us. But can I tell you, God's good to us down at the funeral home. He's good to us on the hospital bed. He's good to us down at the house when ain't nobody around, when the power's out, when there's no groceries, when there's no gas, when there's no friends. He's still just as good as He is when my bank account's full and my refrigerator and my freezer's full. He's still good. He's still God. Saving me was already more than I deserved. Anything else I get, an answer to prayer, a privilege of prayer, the ability to pray, the ability to trust, anything else I have is extra. Because I don't deserve nothing. But I thought a lot. And the reason I say that, what if He didn't? Because there's times that we'll pray. There's time we'll ask of God something, and we don't get what we want, or we don't get what we ask, and we get mad at God.
Right.
Think about it. People get mad at God. Well, He let my child die. I've had people tell me that. If God loved me, He wouldn't have let my child die. He wouldn't have let my marriage broke up. He wouldn't have let my husband leave me. He wouldn't have let me lost that job. He wouldn't have let me lost the family farm. All that's got to do with possession and stuff. Can I tell you, God loves you in spite of everything we are. God loves me in spite of what I am. I know what I am, and I'm amazed that He loves me. Huh? I'm amazed. But that's just a thought. All right, we understand. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. That ought to be the only motivation for our love. Is He loved us, we ought to love Him back. Huh? We all the time talking about Andy Griffith, you know. And I think Andy Griffith might have said that. If He loves you, now you got to love Him back. Or something like that. He's going to be good to you, you got to be good to Him back. Well, can I tell you, we love Him because He first loved us. Had He not loved us and made a way for us to be with Him eternally justified and clean, you understand, we would have never turned to Him. Because even after He done that, we hesitated turning to Him after all that He done. You understand? So we love Him because He first loved us. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You, that's a lot of love right there. That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Matthew 22:37-38 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. We know that. In Mark 12:30, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Can I tell you, just because we're saved by grace, that don't throw that verse out the door.
Amen.
That's Jesus speaking. And He said, thou shalt do this. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, Think about that. With all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. You said that's not possible. If it was not possible, he wouldn't ask it of us. He wouldn't have told us to do it. It is possible. We have to learn to prioritize. Did you hear me? Let's look. Now, this is what the Bible says. Very simple. You are a God lover or a God hater. That's really the only two classes of people they are. You're a God lover or you're a God hater. Loving God defines the believer. Did you know that? It defines us. It's very plain that loving God defines us as a Christian. That's one of our the marks, really, of a Christian, is that I love God. I love God. Think about it. So loving God, now think about this, is both the beginning and the end of a relationship with God. It's a continual thing all the way through. I love Him now. You think about this. It's what it means to be a believer in God. It's what it means to be a Christian, to be a lover of God. Again, it's the most defining attitude. Think about this. It's the most defining attitude that we can express in explaining who we are. These idol worshipers that worship statues and everything, they don't have a love for that God. They have a fear of that God. They don't have a love for that God. They worship the gods of wind or rain or earth or what have you, so they can prosper. They like Baal and everything through the Bible, they worship them and they serve them out of fear. But yet we love God out of His love. We love Him, He loved us, and we don't love Him out of fear. It defines me as a believer that my God is a God I love. Now, should I fear Him? Sure, I should fear Him, but not like that. Not like the people do that worship idols. Are you understanding? Talk to me. You understand me? All right, let's look. Now, we love Him. Now, think about it. Though we are imperfect, we're imperfect. Everybody in here fails. Everybody in every church, every Christian, we fail and we love Him. Sometimes we love Him and we want to love Him more and we fall flat on our face. Where we love Him, we're imperfect. And we work on it to love Him more until we see Him face to face. Then we can love Him with that perfect love. I long to do that, to be able to love Him with no restrictions, with no sin, with no different thoughts in my mind, that He's completely 100% on my focus, nothing else. I can love Him with a perfect body, a perfect mind, a perfect heart. Everything's right. Won't that be great? But until then, I've got to learn to do it with this imperfect body that I'm living in, though I have a clean heart. We okay? Everybody still all right with me? Now listen to me. Now, this don't change. Now, this is because it defines us as a believer. It don't change the gospel. All right? We're still saved by grace through faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand that you can't be saved and hate your Savior. If you're a hater of God, I can't see where there's salvation. I don't think you can be saved hating your Savior. Are we okay? For Jesus is God. Everybody understand what I'm saying this morning? Now, let's look at something. The world has been, is, and will be full of people who refuse to love God. I mean, there's haters of God. We know that. There's God lovers and there's God haters. Now, the reason we're looking at this like that, there has to be a distinction. There has to be a distinction in everyone, in all of us, between a God lover and a God hater. Right? Now, just for fact, there's no love where there's no sacrifice. Because true love costs. True love will cost you something. And I think we all know that. So let's look this morning. All right? Mark 12:30. We're going to look at this verse. And I've been thinking about preaching the Word, preaching about the Word. I'm going to preach the Word this morning. And when we'll preach this verse complete. Now, this is going to be about the Bible, but it's going to be this verse. And we're going to get everything we can out of this verse right here. Everybody all right? It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." And we're going to stop right there for now. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Now, if you look at the context of who is being spoken to, we understand that this passage is where the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes was always trying to trap Jesus and trying to deny him and all these things. And the scribe comes to him and asks him this thing. And he asks him, "What is the great commandment?" And Jesus plainly tells him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." And they all believe that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes could all agree on the first five books of Moses. After that, they separated their belief. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes could all agree on the first five books of the Bible, the writings of Moses, okay? And that's where Jesus went to when he answered them and said, "This is the first commandment, this is the great commandment, that we ought to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." That's a Deuteronomy. We just read it there earlier in Deuteronomy. Everybody still with me? All right. So that's where we're at, all right? But Jesus answered, and this is for us. This ain't just for that one man. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." With all thy heart. With all thy heart. That's asking a lot, ain't it? That's asking a lot. Well, let's see what it is. Let's see. The heart shows that it's eternal, not external. All right? Jesus is speaking to the scribes. And he done been told to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who didn't believe him, who didn't do, they was in their works, they was deciding what they wanted to do, adding their own laws, adding their own little ways. And Jesus stops and said, "You're going to have to start with the heart." Yep. And that heart is eternal, not external. You can say you love, you can say you're a lover of God, you can say you're a Christian, you can say you're saved, but it's going to have to be in your heart to start with this morning. That's where it's got to start. The heart shows that's internal, not external. All right? You can put on the right clothes, you can carry the right Bible, you can attend all the right services, you can go through all the motions and be as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Hear me this morning, it's what's on the inside that matters. Now, think about this. Deuteronomy 6:5, we're going to read it again. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day," what? "Shall be in thine heart." It matters. It's got to be on the inside. And if I was to ask you anything this morning, I'm going to ask you, are you saved this morning? Have you been saved? Does it start there? Is it in your heart this morning? Is it in your heart? Think about that. Jesus said, with all of our heart. There can't be an idol God in our heart. It's not God added on to a list of gods or a list of things. He's not an add-on. It's not Jesus and something else. It's not, if it's Jesus and another God, if it's Jesus and Mary, or if it's Jesus and Buddha, or if it's Jesus and any other God of a totem pole or anywhere else, then it's not, you're not in love with Jesus. You don't have Jesus in your heart. Now let's go back further. If it's your works you're depending on to get you saved or to keep you saved, can I tell you, then that's an idol of God as well, and that's you. You become that idol because you don't save yourself, neither do you keep yourself. All right? There's one Savior, and we ain't it. Huh? Think about that. And He is to be first place. He is to be first place. That's not a suggestion. He is to be first place. All right? Now, if He's not first place, I'm not going to tell you that you're lost. There's times in all of our hearts, in all of our lives, He's not first place. He is in our lips, but not in our actions. We know that. All right? But we're talking about the foundation that he's going to have to be. That no idols as far as where your salvation is at. We're going to start there. That you all, the love of the Lord thy God with all thine heart, the internal part. All right? There's none else. Psalm 73:25 says, "Who have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." There's nobody else. There ain't nobody else. It's only him. Right? Huh? Psalms 119:10. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." There's a lot in there about our whole heart. We still okay? Mark 12:30. Let's look again. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Now we say, well, all this is going to be the same. Well, let's see. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart," internal. All right? Think about that, not extra. I'm dealing with all of our soul. All right? "With all thy soul." Notice it don't say, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul and thy mind." He makes sure that he says, "With all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy might." He wants to stress the all.
Yeah.
Alright? We okay with that? Think about that. The soul is where all our feelings and passions and emotions are. He wants us to have it on the inside, but then he wants us in our soul where our feelings, our passions, our emotions are. Think about that. Alright? Psalms 84:2. "My soul longeth." Huh? With all that's in me, with my emotions and my feelings and my passion, my soul ought to long for the Lord. Huh? Do you long for Him? David said, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Huh? When we talk about loving the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul, there ought to be a longing. There ought to be a longing. You take in boys that's overseas, and some of y'all is in the service overseas, and you long to be home. And you, if you could get a word from home, if you could get a letter from home, or a postcard from home, or something that somebody come through in a news flash about your state, let alone the town you lived in, oh, it made you homesick and want to go home. We got kids going to college. They was homesick. Some of them left here this week. They was homesick before they left because they knew they were going. Huh? And because they loved home. See, what we love changes us this morning. And when we love the Lord with all of our and all of our soul, my soul longeth. Huh? The passion of my heart, the feeling of my heart, the emotion of my heart long for Him.
Right.
Huh? Think about that. Psalm 42:1-2. "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Huh? As an old deer that done been run by dogs day and night. Huh? Out of breath and dry as can be, wants a little drink of water. We've been chased by the enemy and done dirty by the enemy. It ought to be the longing of our soul just to be near our God. Huh? "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." It says, my soul thirsteth for God. Huh? You're going to have to ask yourself the questions. I'm not going to ask you. But it says here, my soul thirsteth for God. My soul panteth for God. For the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Longing and wanting and desiring so much that I want to leave this life and be in His presence. That's what it's saying. Huh? "That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul." Huh? Many love the church with all their heart, with all their soul. Many love the preacher Many love the songs. Many love the hymnal. But what about loving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul? As the heart panteth, I can't get over it. As the heart panteth, listen, I've sat on a tree stand and watched deer be running and their tongue hanging out, and they be a little hole of water and they stop and they look all around and they get, and you can see relief. And I thought, wow, man, these days I got to have some relief. But why is it just days when I'm panting? Why is it just days when I'm running to death, when I'm down out? Why can't it just be any day? Why can't it be as it says, as the heart panteth? It don't say when the heart panteth, but as the heart panteth.
Right.
Huh? My soul thirsteth for God. Huh? There's been times I've sat there and said, I need some milk. I'll go get me some milk. There's times I'll even say, I want some chocolate milk. And I'll go get some chocolate milk. There's times, and Cheryl sit there, and Cheryl says, I need a Dr. Pepper. I gotta have a Dr. Pepper. We'll be traveling somewhere, and she'll say, stop, I gotta have a Dr. Pepper. You're just thirsty for it. That's what you want. There's days, you know what I want? Y'all know what I want? I want a good, hot cup of coffee. Huh? You know, days like every day. Yeah, I want a good, hot cup of coffee. Huh? And, I mean, in a bind, I'll drink cold coffee. In a bind, I'll drink old coffee. Yeah. In a bind, I'll drink warm coffee. In a bind. But I would rather have it boiling off the stove, pour it in a cup where it's the hot, and then drink it, just drink it like that. I like it boiling hot. Huh? That's the way I like it. But you know, I probably ain't going to sit down and try to count the times that I sat down and just thirsted for God. Probably can't do that. I thirsted for a lot of things, but Psalms 43 and 4 says, then will I go unto the altar of God. Now remember, the soul is the feelings and emotions. Remember that, don't you? It says, unto God, what's it say? He didn't say, who gives me joy. He said, he is my exceeding joy. Joy is an emotion. Huh? Far better than being happy. And he is my exceeding joy. When I love him with all my soul, he becomes my exceeding joy. My exceeding joy. Huh? Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Huh? Then will I go unto the altar of God. Unto God my, not unto thee God, a God my, unto God my exceeding joy. Huh? Think about that. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Huh? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, let's look at the mind, all right? With all thy mind, okay? The mind is the part of the soul that moves us. It is purpose, all right? Now, we're not talking about the physical brain, but the mind, all right? The mind, the reason, the understanding, the purpose, the determination, the commitment, that comes from the mind, huh? I don't care how much you love him in your heart and so how much emotion you got. If it don't get up there where your purpose and reason is, then it don't work.
Right.
We okay? Everybody understand me this morning?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see what it says. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's where the mind's at. That's where the mind comes in. My faith in God comes with my reason, with my understanding. Huh? I got to know to trust Him. We okay? Think about that. Flip me back one, can you? Can you flip me back one? The mind is the part of the soul that moves us. It is purpose. Not the physical brain, but the mind. Reason, understanding, purpose. You understand? The reason. Reason. Not a reason, but reason. Understanding. Comprehension. Huh? And faith. It's got to start with there with faith. My mind, my love for God starts with faith. My faith in God. My faith in what He's able to do, what he can do, what I need Him to do, and wherever faith puts Him. You understand? But it's with all my mind and with determination. Come here, can I tell you, I can't serve Him without faith. I can't sing without faith. I can't preach without faith. I can't witness without faith. I can't pray without faith. I can't do anything without faith. So that's the first thing. And that's my reason about God. I know that God can. God is. How do I know God is? By faith. How did I get saved? By faith. I took it. How do I take it? Christ died for me. By faith. I took it by faith. You understand? Let's look on now. Everybody still with me? Psalms 143 verse 10. Teach me to do thy will. Now, I'm asking Him to teach me for His will, but that's going to have to come to my mind. It ain't going to be my soul and my heart. It's going to have to be with all my mind. He's going to have to teach me in my mind. He's going to teach me to do thy will. For thou, my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of God. I won't know to follow Him without my mind, without reason, understanding, comprehension, determination, commitment.
Right.
Everybody understand? That's why it's there. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy... He's covering everything about us.
Yes.
That we would love Him with all we are to all He is.
Right.
Huh? Just love Him. Just love Him. Teach me to do thy will, O Lord. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. My mind is what shows me. What shows me what's right, what's wrong. For a mistake, my mind shows me I don't need on this edge. My heart, no. My soul, no. But my mind tells me, Mark, you've had a stroke. Don't get on the edge of that. That's my comprehension. That's my reason. Right? Everybody follow me? So that's what shows me about the land of uprightness. My mind, with my heart, my soul, my mind, that book teaches me then how to live righteously. We okay? We still okay? Think about that. It takes all of it. See, there's people who love God with emotion. But no heart, no mind.
That's right.
Only emotion. It's all they have. They got in on emotion. They didn't get Him in their heart. They come in on the wings of emotion.
Right.
Sometimes sorrow will cause people to call on a God they don't know. On a God that they don't really want to know. They only know that they're in sorrow. They have no intention of repentance. Have no intention of following. They know I'm in sorrow. There's a God, okay. And they call Him out of the emotion of sorrow. Some out of the emotion of joy. Hey. I'm going to get out of this mess. Hey. Some out of a need of medically. I'll come to God and I'll go to God and I won't be sick no more. Or I won't be addicted no more. There's all kinds of reasons that people come to God that's nothing but emotion, soul. But Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, internal. With all thy soul, with all the feeling, emotion, passion you can muster. Huh? With all thy mind, all the reason and confidence and commitment and purpose, everything you can get out of you. That's how he said to love him. We still okay? Psalms 119, verse 34, it says, give me understanding. Where am I going to get that? I'm going to get that in my mind. Give me understanding, I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. I'm not going to be able to do it with all of me. And let thou get it up here, understanding. We still okay? Now, all this comes right into the same thing. The heart and the soul and the mind are still all three right there together. We all right? Mark 12:30. Come on now. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Now, this is different than all the other three. With all thy strength. So what is that? Strength speaks of the physical. Our energy, all of our energy used to love Him. This is the part that shows our love. Huh? It demonstrates our love. Right? Action speaks louder than words. It demonstrates my love. We show our love by how we conduct ourselves. Huh? Does that not make sense? Notice this is the last. Our heart, our soul, and mind must be right first. Because just showing it, doing through the actions, mean nothing. Okay? Then the strength or might, that comes last. Colossians 3:23. How about this? And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. It don't say, and some things you do. It says, and whatever you do. Why? Because he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. So everything that we do is to be as unto the Lord and not unto men. It don't matter what I do. If I shovel snow, it ought to be for the Lord. If I sweep snow, it ought to be for the Lord. If I scrape ice off my window, it ought to be as unto the Lord. You say, well, that don't make sense. Well, it ought to make sense. Because we ought to belong to the Lord. Every thought ought to be about the Lord first. Huh? Maybe somebody's watching me scrape my window. And I'm over scraping. Slam it. That's a big testimony on my love for that. It's like, hey, I love the Lord. And you say, well, it don't matter. Well, it's in there for some reason. That yeah. Everything I do, I ought to do heartily is unto the Lord. That's all I can say. I'm just reading you scripture today. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily is unto the Lord and not unto man. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed. Not just deed. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I had someone tell me sometime that God wasn't in coal mining and logging, that He was just in church stuff. Can I tell you that that's not true? God's in everything. He's in everything. He's in the shoveling snow as much as He is fixing a stopped up commode. Everything. Everything. Huh? He's in coal mining. He's in logging. He's in printing. He's in nursing. He's in doctoring. Huh? He's in surveying. He's in electric work, carpenter work, brick work, block work. He's in taking care of kids, taking care of old people. Huh? You name it, He's in it. Huh? And whatsoever you do. You say, well, what is that? Whatsoever it is. You can add, you can put anything in it, can't you? And whatsoever you do, is whatever it is you're doing, do it in word or deed. Whether it be in word or deed, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 6:6-7. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You still okay? Think your love for God this morning. Now here we're done. Is it hot and burning? I don't know. Has it cooled off? I don't know. Have you ever had it? I don't know. You tell me. You tell me. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Now, is your love for God hotter and burning? Now, if it's hot and burning, rah, rah, rah! Has it cooled off? Have you ever had it? See, I don't know the answer. See, everybody don't talk. Everybody loud. Everybody don't shout. Everybody's not talkative. I tell one on Reuben back here. I was talking to Jared. I said, Reuben's over to help me do some things. And I said, me and Reuben was talking. He said, whoa, wait a minute. Reuben was what? I said, he was helping. He said, no, that other part. I said, we was talking. He said, Reuben talked to you? Your buddy Jared said that. He said, Reuben don't talk to nobody. He don't have nothing to say. Well, if he talks to me, maybe he don't like you, Jared. Everybody ain't as talking as everybody. Everybody don't shout and holler and run and hoop. Everybody don't. See, I can't go by what you say, what you do. I've given you the scripture the best I could with that one verse of loving the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Now you tell me, is your love for God hot and burning? Has it cooled off? Have you ever had it? Have you ever had it? Father, we've heard them saying, I love you, Lord, because your mercy never fails. We've read the scripture, I love you, Lord, because you incline your ear to me. But yet I wonder, do I love you because I love you? Because you love me. Father, I ask that you might speak to our heart. Let us start this year out looking about our love for you. We can't question your love to us. We know that. But oh God, may we examine ourselves about our love for you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And we'll thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.